Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, everyone, and welcome once again to Madame Perry Salon, the podcast that loves you. I'm your hostess, your groove mistress, your spiritual advisor, Madame Perry, but you can call me Jen, Jennifer, JP, Perry. I'm just happy to be here with you and have much fun right here in the virtual genie bottle that is my salon in cyberspace, where I am so fortunate to have some fabulous, so many fabulous people come here as guests or call in, or listen and share. Thank you also very much. And it's always nice, I think I was saying one time, by the way, if you're listening live tonight, August 10th, 2020, and you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, up there where it says follow, would you click the follow button if you haven't? I'd appreciate that. Or just follow along, subscribe on whatever podcast platform you prefer. And some people have left messages or actually reviews on Stitcher and on iTunes, Apple iTunes podcast, saying what they do, what they like about the show, and I appreciate that. I always want to know what you like and what you want more of. And one of the things people said, and I really appreciate, is people say, you know, if it's a famous person that's on the show, like maybe one of their favorite 80s musicians like Rudy Sarzo from Quiet Riot and Ozzy, and or he played with Ozzy, a tour with him, or if it's author like Carolyn Leavitt, who we just had on a month ago, and now she's got a hot new book out called With or Without You, or if it's somebody they don't know, like when I have on maybe an emerging author, musician, maybe a NASA JPL expert, an anthropologist, a sociologist, you seem to like them all the same. You say it doesn't matter whether you know who the guest is or you never heard of them, but you like it. And I appreciate that, because that's what I'm trying to, that's what I like about it here in the genie bottle, is that it's pretty inclusive. So at least I want to keep it that way, because you have so many variety, such a great variety of interest, and so do I. And I also learn a lot from our guests, too. So thank you so much. I appreciate that. And let's see, what else did I say? Bruce Sudano, who was on not long ago, it's his second visit here, Bruce Sudano, the musician, songwriter. He says, please, he still does have some copies of the CD, his newest one, in case people want a hard CD, or his manager has them. Or you can get the digital version. And, you know, some of the songs that, you know, one of the things I thought he was coming to, going on the tour, so I could get to meet him in person, because there's a musical about his late wife, Donna Summer. Summer, the musical. And he did have a part in that. And so he was touring with that. But a thing changed this year. We kind of went into a little twilight zone. But hopefully all that will be gone, at least by next year, and Donna Summer the musical will tour, and Bruce will be touring with it, or at least coming to visit people. And thank you so much for listening and for everyone that shares. Now, I want to tell you, cool thing is that I get to meet so many exciting people, and I never cease to be impressed, overwhelmed, excited. There's just too much in the world to enjoy, no matter what kind of weird stuff is going on. And we may talk about weird stuff too, but there are always things that can give us joy. On one of my visits, and I think I've been, I don't know, two or three times to Book Expo America, I met an artist who I wasn't familiar with his work then, but he autographed, it was a sample of a book for me, and took it and read it, and I'm just enchanted. And so he's here tonight. He's not only an artist. It was a graphic novel, but he's an author, artist, actor, playwright, and just a lot of fun. And I've learned a few more things about him, too. This guy has a robot sidekick, but I don't know. I don't know if the robot's with him tonight. I hope so. We've got room in the genie bottle for everyone. So I'm going to go ahead and welcome him here to you, Mr. Beau Chimeri. Beau, welcome to Madame Perry Salon.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy.
I'm delighted as well. Have you been inside a genie bottle before?
I have not. It's very new.
Okay. I never told. One of the first guests I ever had went back and told the whole world I've been there. It's like the inside of genie's bottle. So I guess then the secret was out, so everybody knows. But, yeah, it's been a while since I met you, but I was looking at your books one day, and I thought, maybe he would come. Maybe he'd come visit Madame Perry Salon, and thankfully you did, and you're here. And you got a lot going on. And I don't know if one show is going to be enough. I got to be extra nice to you and make sure that you feel comfortable and happy here so you'll come back. Everything I've got about you, you're attempting to complete 6 lifetimes in one, and I think you're certainly on it. Being a comic writer, illustrator, actor, playwright, amateur cook, costume maker, you sing, and you have you want to grow up, traveling squirrel.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
You'd be surprised. It's like sometimes, and maybe this is why, sometimes a squirrel will just come up in a lot of books and guests and people. So I'm thinking I maybe need to pay a little bit more attention to what's going on.
It might be the same squirrel.
It might be. Everyone, I just think, okay, don't just sit back and listen and enjoy it all happening around me. Anyway, welcome. Let's start with, I guess then, with all that you're doing now, I just picture you now as somebody who began drawing as soon as you could grab a pencil away from somebody.
Oh, yeah, that's about how it happened. When I was a tiny little kid, I had this, like, little desk with chalk, and that's, like, where it all started.
So, were your parents artists or anybody in your family, or you just, it was just?
Not really, no, not at all. When I was real little, my great-grandmother used to draw stuff with me, but she wasn't, what I would call an artist. It was just doodles and things. And my parents constantly are arguing between themselves about where it came from because neither one of them are, like, artistic in that way.
So what do you mean? Do you mean they each tried to claim that they were the influence?
I don't know that they were trying to claim it. They were just trying to figure it out. I wouldn't say blame either, but no.
Yeah. Okay. So basically, like I said, I just pictured you grabbing the first thing you could grab as soon as you could grab something and start to write or to draw and create. And probably, I imagine, you had stories and worlds and characters going on before you could even express it.
Oh, for sure.
What? Tell us about The Seventh of London, or the Seventh series. For anyone that doesn't know you, I think a lot of people do.
So The Seventh of London started out with me. I had been writing under a pseudonym at the time, and I was doing mostly romance. But I was reading myself a lot of young adult novels because I tend to gravitate towards them because it seems like authors are a little more free when they write for younger people to be a little more creative. I don't know if they think it gives them, you know, the right to make stuff a little bit weirder or not necessarily less believable, but the suspension of disbelief is a little lighter, I guess. But they were all writing bad guys who would do these really, really good things, but with no motivation. It would just be like the hero goes to the bad guy and says, "Hey, we need help with this. And the bad guy's like, okay. And you never, like, got to see the bad guy do bad things on the page. And I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to write a young adult novel, and there's going to be a bad guy. He's going to help the hero, but he's still going to be a bad guy. And then I started putting stuff together and just thinking about things, and I, you know, that's sort of where it came from.
Yeah, because, you know, I just don't like that. I think I've had a few books recently that I've put down because or didn't give the reviews they want. And I don't like to give a bad review, but on NetGalley and places, because there are no all, well, very few maybe, good or bad characters.
Right. I feel like that's one of the things that a lot of people when they're writing for younger people fall into is, like, they do the just good guys and the just bad guys.
And, yeah, it's not that way at all. So you've got the bad guy. Tell us about him.
Oh, Jack Midnight. He ended up being, like, a lot of people's favorite character in the book. Because can I say bastard? Am I okay to say that?
You can say bastard. Just don't be.
Okay.
But you can say it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's a terrible bastard. But, like, he likes certain people. He reminds me of a fairy in a lot of ways, where, like, he'll do really nice things for people that he likes, but if he doesn't like you, you know, like. But he definitely, there's always motivation behind what he does. It's not just, like, it doesn't come out of nowhere. And you get to see him be a terrible, terrible person on the page. Like,
well, tell us about Seven and how does Seven end?
Seven to me is sort of like punk rock. Because he just kind of does his own thing and he stands up to, like, authority. And he's sort of what the punk in steampunk is to me. Like, he tries to do the right thing, but maybe not always in the right way.
Uh-huh.
And he's definitely, he has no patience for bullies,
mm-hmm,
at all, which gets him into trouble sometimes. And, well, yeah, it gets him into trouble a lot, but...
What do you think? Now, this takes place in what era, the Seventh story?
The first book takes place in, I think it's 1865, so Victorian London, but it's a slightly altered Victorian London because the Queen has, for reasons unknown to the general public, walled off the higher, the affluent part of the city from the more industrial part of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also reclaimed the colonies, reclaimed the United States. So it's slightly altered history. But meticulously researched. Like, I went back to find certain places where, like, I could skew the history and insert characters that weren't in, like, in actual history books, like Lord Sutherland and Rathgate, like all of those guys. There's a point that I found, like, in actual history where I could insert, like, a fictional character that would make things skew just a little bit.
So the Queen, is this Queen Victoria?
It is Queen Victoria, yeah, absolutely.
And I think about, and I wasn't meaning to laugh at what, when you mentioned that in the plot, but it's just one of the first things I think of is that I was, for years I used to be part of a history group where every year we had this one night where we would all get together. It was close to the anniversary of the battles of Warp's Drift and Isan Luana. And so one of the guys that would hold the party in his home pair certain foods for dinner that would have been food that they ate at that time. And then another person in the group was a great, great, great grandnephew of General Goddenville Brownhead, who I think was played by Michael Caine in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So Rohan, the great, great grandnephew there, and all of us. And then, of course, we'd watch the movie for that. And if I understand correctly, because I haven't read it well, it was that Queen Victoria just decided, she wanted this land. Or she wanted Pretoria, East San Luana. And so it makes sense that she would want to wall off, the us and them.
Yeah. You said something about the preview. Was that the comic book?
It was the one. Yeah,
from
the
Book Expo?
Seventh of London. It has your autograph on the front.
There's a series of panels in that where it shows like the fans on top of the walls that are keeping all the smog and smoke and stuff from the industrial side of the city away from the rich side of the city.
Sounds like some things never change.
Yeah, right.
I know it sounds funny, but so when you wrote the first installment to Seven, did you expect to write more? Did you plan to write more, and what kind of feedback did you get?
I absolutely planned it as a single book. But I got really, really good feedback for it, and one of the first people who reviewed it mentioned that it was in an alternate history where Queen Victoria took back the United States, so there was never a civil war. And it kind of blew my mind, and I was like, the whole time I was writing it, I never occurred to me what was going on over there, while I was writing what was going on in England. And then I started thinking about it, and I was like, gosh, that means slavery is still in America, and nobody did anything about it.
Oh, God.
I was like, I can't just let my universe sit like that. Like, I got to go back in and do something about it. So in the second book, Seven and Kettlebent and some of his friends travel to America to deal with some of the stuff that's going on as far as, like, that goes.
So now, did your response from readers and reviews guide you in any way toward the next stories or what followed?
I had a hard time, because everybody loved Jack Middlenight so much, or Midnight, his real name, because everyone loved Jack Midnight so much, I felt like he should be in it, but I needed like I said, he needed a motivation. He couldn't just, I'm going on a trip, So I wanted him in it, but I had to figure out the motivation to get him over there as well. And there's some really interesting moments because since it's an alternate history, Lincoln never became president, so therefore he wasn't assassinated, which meant that I could use Lincoln as a character in the book, which was super fun as well.
You might as well. I mean, he had such a big year over the last 10 years with vampires and zombies and stuff. All those diary keeping vampires and so forth. So, yeah, why not have something special?
Yeah, right.
In your story, seriously. when you started to draw the characters, did you have certain people or other characters you had seen before that influenced you? Is there somebody, maybe you can't name them, but were they?
I mean, sometimes, with anything, even when you're like writing characters, there's always pieces of people that you know in them and so drawing them. But usually when I start a book, I sketch the characters out before I actually start writing. So I know, I have an idea of what they look like in my head. But I wouldn't say any specific person in this was based on any specific person. I mean, I have done that from time to time, but not with seven. They were all pretty much like their own people.
Have you ever had people say, "Is that me?"
It's
me, right?
It's funny.
It's me, right?
It's,
come on, tell me, it's me, right? Yeah.
Right.
That?
It's funny because I wrote a romance novel that is fictional, but it takes place in basically my hometown. But instead of naming it like exactly my hometown, I changed it a little, and so I changed some of the names of like the businesses and stuff and the people who are in it. Like they're actually people in the town, but like fictionalized a little bit. For example, there's a bar in our town that everybody loves called the Bullfrog. Well, in the book, I called it the Box Turtle. So it's slightly similar, but you know.
Yeah.
But I definitely had some friends like read that book and go like, "That's totally so and so, isn't it?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it totally is."
Yeah, that's let's see. I was reading a draft, someone's book, and it takes place in Atlanta, and it's a lot of people that I know were in it. But the guy, when he was writing, instead of changing the names to be very different, like somebody named Spencer would be Sinclair, you know, Dave would be David or something. So I said, you know, you're not really going very far off on the if you're worried about little libel situations, I don't think that you're gonna get past people with that. They're not gonna fall for all this. Now, right now, as I understand, you're working on, is this the third and is this the final installment of seven?
Yeah, this will be the final book in the seventh storyline. Spoiler alert, seven is traveling right now. He's
okay.
he's in search of a scientist and inventor who allegedly created an automaton person that thinks for itself. And after they dealt with the whole slavery situation in America, Seven was kind of upset that it fixed certain things, but it didn't fix everything. And so he's kind of like obsessed with the idea of these robots that will sort of even out the classes, basically, so that like people or people of color won't be just assumed to be, you know, the like laborers, basically.
When
in his
mind. When will we be able to have this?
Oh, it's probably not going to be for a little while.
Oh, okay. Now, when you wrote your first books were romance novels.
Mm-hmm.
And what was it like writing romance? Was this men's romance?
It was male romance. To begin with, and
yeah.
It wasn't, I don't know, well, it wasn't that difficult. I mean, people are just people.
Mm-hmm.
But like I never liked romance novels where like the romance was the only point of the book. So most of my romance novels were not strictly romance. They were more adventure and fantasy and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
With the romance, you know, woven into it.
So it's like once, and this was many years ago, I was looking for a book in the erotica section, and I did not realize the one I had gotten was male. And I get it home and started reading. I think it had vampires and male. One of them. I thought, well, I've already got it. It's too late to go back to the store and swap it. One of the best books I ever read.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, it's, and like I said, this could have been 20 years ago. And I just thought, you know, what do we miss when we think we will or won't like something? something then.
Yeah, or write something off just because, like, oh, it's erotica, so there's not going to be a story, or, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That's why whenever, you know, those, you probably heard of this thing where, or you may have gotten, when you get these emails from somebody that says that they've got your password, they've been, they've captured you on film watching porn in your home.
Oh, yeah, right.
$7,000 or $3,000 something in Bitcoin or some other kind of something like that, cryptocurrency. And I always, or else we'll share this so everybody will see it. I'm thinking, okay, now I know.
Yeah, all your friends will know what you do.
Yeah, exactly. That's all. Okay, and if you knew what you were doing, you'd know that I'm very old school. I've got a book in there, okay? You know, So, yeah, I'm not going to be. Listen, even when people talk about telemedicine, and I got something from from the OBGYN saying, hey, you want to do some telemedicine? I told my husband, I don't care if it is the same address, the same web address, and the same logos and the same people. You're not going to come in here and find me with one leg up on each side of the desk saying, okay, what? Get your little treasure hunt over with, you know. No, he goes, honey, I think that really is legit with them. They don't want you to, yeah. You're not going to fool me like that. Fool me either with the porn. So, no, I'm too old school. But did your fans, did your readers grow? And did the people write to you a lot or talk to you? I know you had several book signings and so forth.
Yeah, I mean, not as much as I kind of expected, I guess. But I feel like a lot of readers might be, like, intimidated to send that first letter. Like, I've had several people write me and talk to me, but not quite as many as I thought might, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can imagine. But hopefully things are getting, people are getting more comfortable with that. By the way, if you're listening live tonight on August 10th, folks, and you want to talk to Bo Shimeri, you can give us a call at 646-716-9922. It's a toll-free call in the continental U.S. Blog Talk Radio assures me. Or for the people who can't make a phone call, you may have had jobs like this or situations where you can't make a phone call, but these people always text in their questions or comments either on Facebook, either to Jennifer Perry or to Madame Perry Salon. So just be sure to call in or share your question or comment for Bo. He's a lovely person to talk with.
Oh, thanks.
So much more to ask you. But by the way, right now, though, I remember the 646-716-9922. I've got a message to play in just a minute, so I'm going to give you about 60 seconds, Bo, if you want to get something to drink or whatever, and come right back. And we'll be
very good.
All right. So, Chuck, talk to us about Fizdale being the Knicks' new coach. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I'll tell you right now, Ernie, it don't matter who's going to coach this team. They don't got no talent on
we
it. And I don't really feel I talk.
That's kind of harsh.
I don't feel I talk about the Knicks right
don't
now.
Want to talk about lunch?
No.
What would you like to talk about, Chuck?
See, Ernie, I've been listening to a podcast called Madame Perry's Salon. And I think Jennifer Perry, she's a great host. I mean, she got all these bestseller authors, Rostov, and all the comedians.
What about people that don't have rings?
Here we go again.
Real funny, man. Real funny. But I think she's great, and I think people would love her show. She got a great laugh. She make the laugh come out of nowhere like an eagle come in there and just steal the whole show. It's a beautiful thing. It's not terrible.
All right, this is Madam Perry, Jennifer Perry, JAP, here with Bo Shimeri, and I'm so happy to have you here. You know, speaking of unusual things, I guess, you know, we were talking before the show about how so many things have changed and people are doing things differently and learning things differently, you know, and our habits. We were talking about, if you don't mind, share your story about karaoke.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Every Friday and Saturday, I host a karaoke at a local bar called The Planet. And When the shutdown happened, all the bars in our area closed down completely. And so it was like 6 weeks where, you know, nobody had that outlet anymore. And a couple people had said something to me, like, I really miss karaoke, like I miss coming to the Planet. And I was like, you know, I should do something about this. So I got a Zoom, one of those premium accounts, and there's a website called Watch Together where you can all watch the same video at once. And I organized like a virtual karaoke session where we sign into the Zoom so we can all talk to each other like in real time. And then I control the cue and the music, and they like basically text me their song request that they want to sing. And then everybody in the meeting mutes while one person sings and I play the music. And it was really, really strange the first time we did it, because you're sitting alone basically in your house, like singing to no one. But it quickly became, you know, a regular thing where we did it like every Saturday night then.
Oh, okay. All right. So, yeah, so it's everybody's gotten with the program, so to speak. Everybody's in the groove with it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And this weekend I couldn't do it because on Sunday I did a local comic book shop had free comic book day, so I went there to sign up and sell art and sign books and whatnot. And so I had to get up real early in the morning, so I didn't do karaoke on Saturday night, and I had some fairly disappointed people, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
And you play? You play piano?
No, no.
Oh, okay. All right. I see.
No.
Okay.
No,
all right.
I don't know if you've ever seen me. Well, you've seen me. But everybody always asks me if I'm in a band, and that's like the one thing that I don't do. Like, I'm not in a band and I don't play instruments.
Okay. Well, actually, I've just gotten a message from listening to this. This guy knew that I was going to mention him next. I had gotten to where I was started going to a little club. It's like a little bar and grill place, not too far from where I live. And a guy I've known for a long time, a musician named David Reeb, he's played with my groups back in the past, and we do a few gigs together. But he does a lot of the piano bar open mic things. And so he started playing at this place called the Buckeye. And then on Sunday nights, he would have people come to open mic. And then in the back room, which isn't that far back, there would be blackjack with Miss Lauren. And Miss Lauren is a drag queen who, so she's does the blackjack and all that. And she teaches you, too. So if you don't know, like I didn't know what to do, she'd say, oh, sit down, you'll learn. Sit down. And that was my thing. I got to work great Sunday nights. I could sing, listen to David play. Sing, go back with Miss Lauren and play blackjack. It's a great time. And so now, and then David just said, don't forget, I do FB Live, or that's Facebook. He's here on Facebook Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. playing piano for everyone. So,
wow.
Yeah, so thank you, Dave. So, he's on there 10 to 11. We can listen to him, all of us that miss him. And, I'm going to tell him, yeah, you ought to up it, Dave. You ought to let us sing with you. So, yeah, you're right. We are learning to do things to mind. If this is not too personal a question to ask you, and if it is.
Probably not.
Go
ahead.
If it is, just tell me, or as we say in the South,
okay.
Just tell me in a nice way, hon. I'd like to know more. I'd like to explore, as they say, your robot sidekick with whom you on the low fight crime, and not only crime, but mediocrity in North Central Pennsylvania. I mean, especially that you do it on the low. You know, I got a couple of friends lately that tell me I'm sneaky, and I resent that because I didn't think that, you know, that means that I wasn't that sneaky at all if they caught me. So is it a lot of secret work, or could you share a little bit of that with me?
Well, unfortunately, the robot and I have parted ways. He decided to go do something on his own.
Dang.
I feel like I'm one of those people who like tries to get other people to do stuff that they normally wouldn't. Like,
so, brother.
One of the things I do every year around time of Halloween is I produce and direct and act in the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Like, we do a live version of it. And I have a really, really good friend who's a fantastic singer, but her self-esteem at certain points is not that great. Like, she's really awesome, and she knows she's really awesome, but she has a hard time, sharing it sometimes, I guess. And so I tried for years to get her to be in the show with us, and she wouldn't, and she wouldn't, and she wouldn't. And then, surprise also, I do burlesque as well from time to time. I got her to kind of come out of retirement and do a burlesque show that I produced. And afterwards, she was like, I'm so glad you made me do that. Like, I didn't think I'd ever do this again. Like, and I said, dude, you're awesome. You got to do more stuff like this. And so then finally I said, come be in Rocky Horror with us. And she was like, I don't know. And I was like, you didn't want to do burlesque again. Well, look what happened when I talked you into that. Uh-huh. She was like, yeah, you're right. So she ended up coming and being in Rocky. And then she took a small role the first year. And then the next couple of years, she wanted to do more. So, but I've had a couple of friends like that where it's just like, come on, guys. You can do this. Like, do it. Don't be afraid.
I like it. I like it. I can dig it. Yeah.
That's sort of my way to fight. That's my way to fight mediocrity. Like, get people to do more. Like, awesome people.
It's perfect. It's perfect. I love it. Have you been to Atlanta, Bo?
Oh gosh, not in any like. I've probably driven through Atlanta, but not actually visited for any amount of time. Yeah, it's definitely on my bucket list.
Yeah, we'll have to get you down here. Must.
Because I hear wonderful things about it.
Good. In fact, I think one day I was talking, once when I was met, it might have been in Chicago at Book Expo, when I was talking to some people from Dream Spinner Press, and I said, they were giving me books, and I said, yeah, I'd love to have some of your authors on a podcast. And she goes, you know we're gay, right? And I said, you know I'm from Atlanta, right? And they said, oh. And they said, oh, Atlanta. Okay, yeah, yeah. All right, great. You guys are good. And I thought, well, that was nice. That was a nice reaction rather than, somebody that just didn't think that we were all hillbillies or something down here. So,
right.
I appreciated them for that. So, I had to come down. It's lots of fun. When we're all traveling again. So, yes, that is a great mediocrity. Now, how you and the robots parted ways, I don't know. Maybe I'll get you to talk about that if you ever come back, if you will come back. But I hope it was something amicable, not something like, you just got sloppy in a relationship and put the wrong kind of oil in, tried to go cheap or something.
Right. No.
Replace
our aspirations
with the refurbs.
Different.
What now?
I think our aspirations just became different, that's all.
Yeah, it happens.
I think he wants to be the first robot president, which, more power to him.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Maybe, yeah. Why not? Somebody's got to be first.
Right?
Right. If you were a time traveling squirrel, or when you are, where would you want to travel in time and why?
Oh, that's such a good question. There are so many places I'd like to visit. Like, I would love to be in England when the Beatles were the Beatles.
Mm.
And get to see some of those like club shows that they did.
Oh yeah. or even
I think that would be amazing.
Church coffee houses.
Oh yeah, yeah, that'd be one of the big ones.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely like to go back and see Victorian anything as well, because I feel like I have sort of a weird spiritual connection with that time, just because, I don't know, aesthetically, I guess.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, that would be exciting. Travel yet? Have you tried to just concentrate?
No, no, I have not. I have not taken that leap yet.
No? Okay. You know, when I can't sleep, I get a couple in my, you know, I close my eyes, breathe slowly, and in my mind, I grab a few friends of mine from the Wild Wild West Con steampunk conventions out in Tucson, and we go visit Lucas and Mark McCain, or we go to the Ponderosa and visit, but nobody can touch Pernell Roberts, I mean Adam. They got to keep their mitts off of Adam, but everything else is fine. We have a good time. And then I fall asleep, and it's all good. So you've got something coming up, too. We bought a steampunk book, kind of a steampunk fairy tale, I understand.
Yeah, I did a steampunk fairy tale a while back for Dream Spinner for one of their anthologies. Mm-hmm. And the editor really liked it, but wanted it to be, like, felt like it would do better as its own, like, standalone book. So basically, I'm sort of retooling that so that it can stand alone as an actual novel rather than a short story.
Okay, all right, and
That's probably going to be more in the young adult vein as well.
Oh, sweet. Do you like to read a lot of steampunk themes? Are you a pretty big fan?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I you know how people always like get upset when something they like starts to go mainstream, because steampunk is starting to become pretty mainstream.
Yeah.
And it's like I like kind of understand sometimes why people have a problem with it, but like, why wouldn't you want more people to be into the same thing that you're into? Like,
yeah.
I think it's great that people are, and like, I don't have to explain steampunk as much as I did like 5 or 6 years ago. Like, When I would say steampunk to somebody, they'd be like, what are you talking about? But now I can say steampunk, and they kind of already know what I'm talking about.
It's like, what did you call me? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, sure, there's going to be, you know, I think there's enough latitude in the creativity with steampunk to where, you know, there's all kind of like the diesel punk and apocalypse and da-da-da-da. There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. There's been some, at Wild West Con this year, I met a guy from New Zealand. He comes every year, and he worked with the New Zealand groups there on their shows. And I said, yeah, there's a TV show. I can't think of the name of it, but Brokenwood. It's one of those police suspense shows. It takes place in New Zealand. And they had an episode where somebody gets killed during a steampunk convention or event. And then my friend, you know, Thomas Williford. He lives in Pennsylvania, and he's what they call a steampunk maker. And, you know, he creates all kinds of, not just gear and clothing, but he's got a big, a huge robot that's out of some highway now as a traction. But he was the judge of the steampunk. Remember the steampunk competition show where they had the people?
Yeah, yeah.
The maker?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. He was one of the judges.
Okay.
And tall guy with long red hair. He was one of the judges. And then some of the other people in there who were contestants, like James, like Tobias McCurry and Taylor Forge, when they're in there. I've met all of them through Wild Wild West Con.
Awesome.
And, you know what? I had a point there somewhere, and I think I've just lost it all together. Oh no, but I was going to say, I know that. The last time Thomas Williford was on the show here, he was talking about one event he was working as a vendor at some con, California, and then he met somebody that wanted to hire him to make some things for a TV show. He ended up doing something on a TV show called Castle. He built parts for a character on there.
Oh, wow.
Where the storyline fed to that. And then I think also a soap opera. Yeah, and I was just thinking, you know, why not? If you enjoy it, and bring it to more people. If you're, it's not, you know, why keep it a secret and hide it?
Yeah, right. I mean, you see it a lot with bands, too. When bands, like, sign something and get, like, a contract, then people are like, oh, they sold out. It's like, no, that's the point. That's the whole point of what they're trying to do. Like, they didn't sell out. They became successful.
They want 3 square meals a day, okay? Cut us some slack.
Right?
When I used to have I had a TV show in Atlanta back in the late 90s, and one of the things I had when the local musicians come on, I'd have them do a recipe, because I'd tell you there's no middle class in the arts. You're either, you know, dirt poor and scraping your way from one to the other, or you can afford to trash the hotel room. And I have people say, give me one of your road recipes. It'd be anything from somebody would say, oh, well, you know, when your car overheats and you stop, you know, you're on the way, so you got to stop. Just go ahead and get your little pot out and some water and ramen noodles, and you put the water in the pot, put it on the radiator, and when the noodles explode, it's done. And then by then the car's cooled off and you can keep on going.
There you go.
So, yeah, why would they want to give that up?
Right.
Of course they want to sell. They're not selling out. They just want to be paid for what they do. So, yeah.
Yeah.
What – I know you've recreated the karaoke experience in a beautiful way, and I just look forward to more work from you. And do you don't see? Do you see the? Do you see the robot coming back anytime? Do you see a reunion somewhere down the road where we can say, back together again?
Oh, we'll see. Maybe.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that'll be the next time I come talk to you.
I wish you would. And actually, I do hope you'll come back. So please say that you will.
I will, absolutely.
Okay, great. Thank you. And, yeah, and, you know, I got to say, you know, I tell people, you know, give a call or a message. And a lot of times after the show, if nobody calls, then after the show, everybody starts going, oh, I love it. That was great. They go, why do you call? I was having fun listening. So for all my listeners out there now and later, you know, please continue to share. I will also be providing links to Bo Shimeri's where to get his books. I'll share it on all of my social media as Madam Perry and as Jennifer Perry, both on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, everywhere. I'll be sharing that. And anything you've got new coming up or that you a new release, Bo, I hope that you will send that to me, send me links as well so I can share that with all of my followers.
I absolutely will.
Thank you. And, this has just been a delight. You are enchanting. And
oh, thank you.
I'm so
this
glad.
Is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. I'm so glad I got to have you here in the Genie Bottle. And hope you'll come back. And, yeah, it's just like I was going to. I thought, I have kept that autograph from you all this time because you put 2 Jennifer on it. And now I get to have you.
Yeah,
I have you back. Anyway, I'm going to leave you. Everybody's got the swing, though. Yeah.